Welcome to another episode of Lager. With you tonight is Devin, and we have a special guest, possibly a new co-host, Andrew, also known as Scotty or Red
Shoddy.
Scott Shoddy.
Yeah.
Why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, and where you come from on the globe here on the internet, I'm usually known as Shoddy, old high school nickname that stuck. Those that know me personally, it's Andrew Shaw. Been doing Linux various things for, good 10 years almost now. Like all good young men, I was always into gaming. And so it's just a natural fit that I get on a Linux gaming podcast. These days, play just about any type of video game that gets put out on it. Enjoy it.
All right. As you know, we haven't done many Lager episodes. So we figured on top of this episode, we can give you some other good content by telling you about some other podcasts if you didn't already know about them.
Yes, definitely. We'll keep you guys busy if you're not busy enough already.
First one I'm going to talk about is the Linux and Tech Show. I don't understand who listens to this stuff. They just fart into their mics and...
I hear it's a cesspool. It's all satanic worship.
But in all seriousness, these guys have been putting a show together for years. And I've been listening for, I guess it's been 2 years or something, a long time. And they've always put out good content. It's definitely a great place to check out. Great podcast.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the best Linux shows that I've heard thus far, and I've tried out quite a few. In all seriousness, if you're looking for good Linux content, they're the guys to go to first.
Yeah, and Dan, the founder of Lager, I guess, he is one of the co-hosts there, if you didn't know that.
Very true.
And then there's also the Linux Action Show. These guys are relatively new. I mean, not new to Linux, but new to podcasting. Actually, they might have had a podcast before this, but I don't know. In either case, they don't have many episodes out yet, but every episode I've loved. They're really enthusiastic about Linux, and they really love what they're doing.
Yeah, they're actually... Putting it as enthusiastic is an understatement. They love doing it. You can just tell it by listening to them. They're real passionate about what they do, and it's very good listen. Very good listen.
Yeah.
In fact, if I'm not mistaken, they were hosted on Linux Link Tech Show, about a month, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're ex-Mac developers and users switching over into the Linux realm and loving it, put it lightly.
Yep. Also, if you are new to Linux, there's a great podcast put together by our friend from the Linux Link Tech Show forums, Chess Griffin. He does a podcast called Linux Reality, and it has to be the best new user Linux podcast I've ever heard or listened to.
Yeah, he went and sat down and just broke down every concept you could have issues with and just laid it out there for you. You know, hooking up a printer, getting on the internet, you know, what a desktop environment is.
Yeah, he must spend hours researching this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, then again, he is a lawyer, isn't he? And they have different brains. They're able to do things different than us normal people.
Yeah, read long documents and stuff.
Yeah, and use those big, long words. See, I think over four letters for me is pretty hard. You know, beer, fart, porn.
Yeah, he has a great podcast, and if you're new to Linux, definitely check it out. Someone from the last podcast, last Lager episode, Zach, has his own Linux gaming podcast now. LinuxGames.com podcast. And if you haven't checked it out yet, you should definitely do that. It's very good.
Yes, an excellent supplement to our show, which is, of course, much better. But, seriously, they're on episode 3, maybe up to 4 already. I'll have to check my RSS feed to see if they put out a 4th yet. But very good content. Very good.
Yeah, definitely. Also, Gamer Radio. They're a general gaming podcast, but a few episodes ago they've done a bunch of Linux content, and Zafan was on there, I guess, a long time ago. I'm not sure what time frame that was in, but supposedly he was. And C4 is on there, and he's always on the IRC. And if you don't go to the IRC, you should. You have no excuse.
Well, I guess you just slapped me in with that one there. I haven't been in IRC in ages. Period. Any of my IRC channels you still live in.
Go to thelinuxlink.net/logger or /techshow. Most people hang out in the tech show one because we are lame.
We're going to change that, though.
Yeah. It's only Dan and me in there right now.
Oh, God. You can see how lame I am. I haven't even set up a IRC client on either of my machines that I just set up yet.
That probably means you have a life.
Yeah, unfortunately. Not the kind of life that I was hoping for. It's mostly work, sleep. Occasionally see the kid on the weekend, then go back to work and repeat.
Yeah. What other podcasts do you listen to?
Well, just to keep it on the entertainment level, if you're excluding all the Leo Laporte stuff that I got in here, and the obvious Logger and Linux Link Tech Show stuff, and the others that you had mentioned, I figured if you haven't checked out NPR's list of podcasts, definitely do it. You've got a link to, in the show notes, their gaming one called Press Start, which is just a regular group of guys just talking gaming. Last episode that I listened to was them getting their hands on a Nintendo Wii and loving it. They had a few shortfalls that they brought up, but if you listen to it, you'll see what they mean and if it actually means anything to you.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, they got a good lineup. I know on iTunes it's not showing every episode that's available, but if you go and actually grab the real RSS feed, they've got like a dozen shows or so. I've been listening to them since March, I want to say, and I had to play catch-up on a few episodes when I found them back then. They do like one a month, I think it is. So they've been going for almost a year, if not.
That's cool.
Yeah. Then, just totally off computers, there's a gentleman that's writing a novel. I guess finished with it and doing segments of each chapter as a podcast. His book is called The Heretic, and loosely based on the whole Templar Knights from history being brought into present day. So if you like some of that like Constantine-type action, that podcast would definitely trip your trigger. Getting pretty far into it by now, I would say if it's not two-thirds the way through the book, he's got a really long, like, Stephen King-sized book coming our way.
So he does, like, he reads off the book over the podcast?
Yeah, just like you'd want out of, like, a good dungeon master in D&D. He actually will try to get into each character's role and try to change the voices up a little bit. It's an entertaining podcast.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I know, that's one of the first of its kind.
I mean, well, that's free, too. I mean, yeah. You get a lot of the Audible stuff out there, but, you're paying and you're kind of getting a different type of thing, whereas here, some guy wrote a novel. Instead of just trying to sell it out on a bookshelf, he's giving it away in audio format. So,
yeah.
Let's see how it pans out. He's mentioned earlier on, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe I read it on his website, but he's got a couple other books in the works that he's pondering at doing this way, and I wouldn't mind sliding him, like $20 or so for access to a feed if it's as good as his Heretic cast.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, definitely. It's about 10-15 minute segments. I think they're up to 20 segments now, so.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone's heard of the 2600, the hacking organization. Well, there's two different podcasts that they do, basically whatever time slot you're looking at, that they actually do broadcast over their radio station. Got Off the Hook and Off the Wall. Once you get past any political differences you have, it's actually a quite entertaining show. A lot of good, thoughtful things get brought out, sometimes they really don't express in entirety what they really feel. They just keep throwing things at you, making you think. And when you work third shift, you need to think every now and then. Otherwise, you fall asleep and get fired. So I love having this one handy for that reason. It really makes you think. I think the latest real good one was when that one gentleman at the Hope Conference got arrested. Well, you know, at first nobody knew what the heck it was all about. You know, what did he get bagged for? And then as things started coming out, it's like, you know, but...
I heard about that. What did they actually find out what it was?
Well, the gentleman was doing a seminar, for those that aren't aware, of how simple it is to dig up dirt on people just by having their name and one of their basic pieces of information. And the gentleman had volunteered, because this is all volunteer to be the guinea pig, gave him his email address, I think his home address, and his full name. And this gentleman, as doing the research, I'll have to pull up his name for you, was able to get every little piece of information. I mean, where his brother was working, everything. God. Well, found out, though, that someone had stole his identity in this 10, 15 years ago and has been using it ever since. Well, that person apparently was being investigated by the government and being put through, like, witness protection program or something. And so when he was about to bring out that information, it was going to compromise this whole separate case, and they wanted to shut him up with regards to that, so they had to arrest him on that.
Wow.
Yeah, we haven't fully got all of the information, but from what was able to be disclosed, that was pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah, some other podcasts, there's KDE Radio, although they haven't done an episode in, like, several months. But they have some good interviews, different developers from various areas. Twat Radio.
Oh, how could I forget that one?
Yeah.
That one's excellent.
It's supposedly a daily podcast, although it's kind of hard for some of the content producers to get it every day. Like, they have a switch up every so many days. They do one, but it's hard for about a lot of people to do it. So they haven't been getting it every day, but most of the episodes are still really good.
You're getting a couple a week usually. I think they did have that one couple-week hiatus a few months ago, but for the most part, they're putting out several episodes a week. Tons of great content. Their initial goal was to try to just do daily. Now what they're trying to do is get it to where you do like an episode every couple weeks to a month. And if there's just enough people to keep filling in the content, just do one show a month.
Yeah.
If you have technical skill in anything, whether it's, you know, fixing cars, building radios, blowing up TVs, hey, record a show, send it in. I've got 5 on the back burner that I just got to clean up the audio recording of or just re-record. And hope he's a twat supporter as well. Woohoo!
I'm sure most of you have probably heard of Hack 5, but if you haven't, it's a great video cast. Let's see, what else is in here?
Well, you got the Geek Cast that Aaron Krakow does. Why I remember his name and not the guy that got arrested is beyond me, but he's got a started out being more Mac-centric, but definitely did hit all three OSs, you know, Linux, Windows, and Mac. Right now, he's trying to rotate around, doing a Mac thing, then a Windows thing, then a Linux thing, then maybe go back to Windows, then Mac, then back to Linux. Little basic things. It's about a 20-minute podcast for his long one he does each week, and then he's got a shorter one that he flips out, which is primarily just news. But the basic format's news, something new, and then some tricks, you know, on something.
That's cool.
So, yeah, if you haven't checked it out, definitely grab the URL that's going to be in the show notes will have his
all of these
website.
All these will be in the show notes.
And, you know, you can just peruse through the old shows. There's probably something that will help you out because he's got over 100 episodes now. There's a few that helped me out that I didn't even realize, you know, and going backwards, catching up. That's a bad habit I have, you know, find a new podcast. It's up to, like, episode 4,800,010. Yeah. I got to go listen to every single back one. But, in his case, I thought it was worth it for me, at least. I would say go through the show notes and make a decision yourself, but definitely start listening to that fellow. He's got some good stuff.
Let's see. I also listened to The Wire, although that's not Linux. It's all about the Wii, mostly. I mean, they have other news, but for the most part, it's about the Wii, because I'm a Nintendo fanboy.
Well, I think most people are turning into Wii fanboys, even if they're not just Nintendo fanboys. I mean, there's a couple guys I work with that never owned anything besides the original Nintendo and maybe a Game Boy that are just willing to run over their mother just to be able to go to the store and buy a Wii the opening day. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
How much support they were able to drum up with just some creativity and loyalty towards their supporters. It's just amazing.
Yeah. As long as they don't have a game drought like they did the DS, like a couple years after, then I think they're going to make it up there. I don't know if they'll be the top one or the second to top, but they're definitely going to be doing good.
I find it hard that they couldn't at least make it a very tight second place, because Sony and Microsoft are saying, Nintendo's going to be a great second system. Well, if everyone has either a Sony or an Xbox and then goes out and buys a Wii, everyone's got a Wii. Only half the population has a Sony or a Microsoft unit. You know, it's just hilarious. You know, it's just like, you know, by accident, they're going to be number one, I think.
Let's see. I guess only a couple others. Linux Cult. I haven't got an update from them in a while, but like 2 days ago, I did. I don't know if it was my RSS feeder acting up or what. So they might be dead, they might be alive, but still check them out, because they do have some good shows.
Yeah, I don't know if you've been having the same issues I've had, but a lot of RSS feeds haven't been pulling through correctly on any aggregator that I have, whether it's on Linux, Mac, Windows. I've been running into issues with some specific feeds.
I haven't really had too much trouble. Maybe I have, but I just don't know it.
Well, see, at first I thought it was just me, but then I went and tried it out on other machines, and major ones were not pulling through correctly. A good half of them were puking out with some goony error that, of course, Google never heard of, so I guess it didn't exist except for in my little alternate reality. But yeah, I'm sure it's probably still going. I'll just give it a day or two.
It looks like the Linux Cult is only a forum, unless I don't know how to navigate, which could be possible. But all I see is a forum on the linuxcult.com. I don't know. Something to check out. And if any of the listeners know, please send us your email. Logger@thelinuxlink.net. Let's see. There's also the Source Show, which is a video cast, and they put together some really good content. I think last episode they did some Cinelera content, and that was really, really useful for me. The only other one I listen to is Digital Life TV, and that's another great video cast. They do it 2 times a week, put together by 2 old Tech TV hosts.
Tech TV legends.
Yeah.
I think that's where it got to just about now. Oh god, now I'm having a brain fart with those guys.
Robert Herron and
Patrick Norton,
that's it. Yeah.
Now I had to almost scroll down a good third of the way. And if you've gone to their site, you know what I mean. They're packed on their main page with information. I'm like 4 episodes back before I got dude's name. Sad.
Yeah, they have some really good content. Like, and they do have a lot of Windows programs and stuff, but every episode is interesting for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, at least when they do go Windows-centric, it's for a reason. You know, it's the latest and greatest video game or, you know, whatever. Because they will go and tout Linux and Macintosh software and equipment as often as they can.
Yeah, it's usually because people write in and say, I need something that'll do this on Windows, and then they'll provide answers and stuff, and it's pretty funny at times.
Yeah. Well, they got a good show.
Yeah. So definitely check those people out. Any
Since you reminded me, Yeah, since you reminded me with DLTV, I almost all forgot about all my video casts I got. Cranky Geeks.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. If you're a fan of John Dvorak, he heads up a bunch of other cranky geeks as well that just rant and rave about various topics. Usually they're pretty good as far as, you know, provoking intelligent thought instead of just, you know, whining and complaining. They take all of the major issues throughout the previous week and discuss them. I think it's another Ziff Davis production, just like DLTV.
Yeah, I think so. I guess next we'll talk about the remakes that you watched.
Yeah, I found on LinuxGames.com they've got a remake thing that they're doing, pull it up again. Basically, they got a contest for who can do good remakes, and they've got all of the contest winners and submissions on the website. The URL will be listed in the show notes, but the one that caught my attention was for those that are really old-school gamers that had a NES or Commodore 64 or something of that era, Goonies had a really fun game that was brought over to NES and C64 in particular that this group redid. Pretty fun. If you haven't played in an emulator, the original one, grab this remake. Pretty fun.
Now, are all the games that are made, are they all free?
That I saw, yes. Although I did see some tools that were listed in there that were, I don't think, free. Usually professional means some sort of dollar amount. There was a basic programming language kit that had a standard and a professional that I didn't look at in depth at all, but they had won prizes, and I'm assuming the professional's going to cost something, kind of like real basic.
Yeah,
it was something similar to that. Let's see, I'm pulling it up right here. Dart Basic, it's called. Professional box version. So, yeah, that one's a commercial one. They've got a lot of stuff here from between free and non-free. I can see the GP2X. That's one of Dan's favorites, I know. That was listed as a first-place winner. They got a USB dance mat, which I'm sure is a DDR hack. But, yeah, they got it all over the place, from the actual games, the sound stuff, the video, ton of stuff to go through, ton of stuff. But, of course, the reason I even brought that up was the awesome Goonies game. You walk away from this podcast and you're done listening, Goonies, Goonies, Goonies. In fact, go to Best Buy or CompUSA or whatever, go buy Goonies, just so that you can get in a proper mood to play the video game.
Do they still sell it?
I hope so, because I'm thinking we should get sponsorships from some of these people. You know, do backwards talk, you know, the backwards speech stuff that supposedly makes people go subliminal and go do things that we tell them. Bye, Goonies. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that they're redoing that I haven't had a chance to go through that I do want to. I'd say it's about 50-50 between development tools and finished products.
In my spare time for the last couple of weeks, I've been remaking a computer for a friend. I like building it up from my old motherboard and other various parts, and I'm putting Linux on it. And I've been showing him Linux and how to use it, and the Skull of Doom, and Control-Alt-Escape.
What distro did you choose?
I chose SUSE Linux 10.1. Mostly because I figured they probably couldn't handle Gentoo at this point.
Oh, God, I'm a veteran, and I only got Gentoo to work once.
Yeah.
And I also think the Gentoo 2001.2, which was like their first release or so, or maybe second release, every attempt since then I failed miserably, so I just kind of like bow my head in shame and walk away.
But I also remember back in the old days when I was on dial-up, I remember they had a fantastic application to connect to the internet. Like, they had ISP listings, and you could select from that and type in your username and password, and everything was all automated.
Yeah, I got to say, I think SUSE was one of the spearheads in developing it, but the KPPP was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Back in the day, that was one of the lifesavers, and if you couldn't figure out how to configure WV dial, that's what you used.
Yeah, and since my friend is on dial-up still, that's what I chose for him. But overall, he's very enthused about getting his new computer, which hopefully I'll give him sometime this week. I was showing him some games, and overall, he loves them. Like, even they're not big World of Warcraft. They're not.
Yeah, you know. Well, but the thing is even those big ones are now starting to get working on here, but the free ones still are very competitive. Yeah. You know, as far as addiction level, I mean, I think Frozen Bubble has to be the most addicting game, period, ever, to grace the earth. I mean, I know people that are older, you know, that got to experience, you know, when you were young, Pong, you know, the actual hookup that you hooked up to your TV that just played Pong, and how addicted they got to that, and you're like, damn, this is really close to being just as addicting. And I think that really shows to some of the creativity that some of these Linux developers are starting to be able to throw out there. You know, stuff that'll get you addicted for days upon days upon days straight.
Yeah, and doesn't require thousands of hours of development and
no,
and like graphics cards that are $10,000.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, for just a few bucks, whatever it costs you to get online, basically, to download it, that's your entrance fee. That's it. You just need a computer then that can run Linux.
It's amazing.
It's great. There's a lot of good games that are just like that.
It was insane how excited he was for Planet Penguin Racer. I mean, it's just a simple game where you're a penguin and you just race down a hill. He got addicted for like an hour, and I had to tear him away from the keyboard.
Well, it's one of those games. I only played it a couple times and probably got more time in my life because of that. But, yeah, you know, that game is another one of those addicting ones. I think the two that hurt me the most in the past was Frozen Bubble and Neverwinter Nights.
I've never tried the Neverwinter Nights.
Well, I bought a little after it came out, Neverwinter Nights, and expected to get the Linux version. That was taking a while. After about 4 months of waiting, I gave up, installed on a dual boot Windows so I could play it. And I got laid off a couple months later, and for the first month and a half, the only time I left my room was to grab food or hit the bathroom. It was wake up at 7 in the morning, play till 2 in the morning, go to sleep, wake up, repeat. It was bad.
Are they?
It was pretty bad.
I know the second one's coming out, and
I don't know if we're going to be getting a Linux version, though. It's iffy.
I heard that they were using DirectX, so probably not, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to see if I can pry any information out of TransGaming, see if they're working with them at all, or if they got any seeds that work on the Wine project to see if they can get that to work, but yeah, it's kind of iffy if they're going to even bother to port it with all of the problems they ran into last time.
Yeah. So they're not going to have any support for the original anymore?
It's still going. In fact, they just released another commercial module for the original Neverwinter a week or two ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's still going. Still going. Mostly, I think, because it's so easy to create new maps, new items, new monsters, you know, modify what's already there to fit your needs just a little bit better. I have to give them two thumbs up on creating an excellent toolkit to make that possible. I had a couple buddies that are still playing D&D that had pondered using that as their new medium for running game modules, do it interactively through the computer, which I thought was kind of unique considering the tradition of being pen and paper with those folks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I haven't bought that new module. I only got the first two that they released that were available for Linux as well.
Cool. Let's see. Sayer Brayton got an update recently. I think it's, let's see what version it's at.
it's up to
206.09.12.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was 8 days ago.
Yeah, it's just about a week ago.
Yeah. And they got some updated graphics. Mostly the new water scheme. Or layout or graphics, whatever. But it looks...
Yeah, like they got some pretty phenomenal graphics in here. For those that aren't aware, it's nice.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, when I first got introduced to it, it was when it was still just Cube was around. Yeah. And I was really impressed with that. I had got it installed on my other laptop that I got that's running Linux. Rushed right over to my one buddy's house, like, dude, this is available for every platform. You got to start deathmatching in here. And he was impressed. Never got around to doing much deathmatching. Well, for some reason, if it's not one thing, it's another. You know, someone forgets a power cord. You know, and we're all trying to set up our LAN parties. You know, oh, my monitor's broke now. No, it's not. No, it is. No, it's not. No, it is. It's like, figure it out, please. So we didn't get too much gaming going. There was like four of us that were having a pretty good time killing each other. But that forked, and now you got Sauerbraten, which is even better. I think Cube 2.
Yeah. I wonder why they forked.
You know what? I forget. I actually did look that up a while back, and it was a pretty straightforward answer. Let's see. Well, while we're talking on other things, I'll Google that up and see if I can figure it out again.
All right. But, yeah, it's definitely a great game if you haven't checked it out yet. I know I think we talked about it, one of the earlier loggers. But the multiplayer is extremely fun.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the level design. Just, like, multiplayer level design. That's not something that's in most games, but it definitely should be.
Yeah, it's a real fun one. Basically, for those that aren't up to speed, it's Quake 1 redone to have all the abilities that Quake 4 and Doom 3 have. They've gone past what Quake 3 is capable of as far as a technical level. Whether the maps and artwork support it, that's a different story. I think they're right in between Quake 3-ish. If you ask me, it's right around Quake 3 still, but the capability is there to go much further, which means that if you have any artistic talent or level designing skills, you can really go quite far with a free piece of software.
Yeah, and I wish there were just more games that were as fun and as innovative as Sauerbraten. Because, I mean, I played even Quake 4. I mean, it's a great game, but I like Sauerbraten better.
Yeah, you know, Quake 4 was good, though, don't get me wrong. I love it, and I kiss their butt by every game they've got just because they support Linux as hardcore as they do.
Yeah.
Even if they came out with a game that's what's called This Is Crap, and you just look at a picture of a turd, that's how bad the game was. I'd still buy it just to support id. Because they've really stood behind us Linux gamers 100%. They've released their old games, sourced to us to play with, hence how we got Sauerbraten there.
Yeah.
Every time they put out a game on the store shelves, you can go on their website and download a Linux binary. And I think that there's a lot to be said there. But some of the things that were left out of some of its commercial stuff is now getting put into the free version, and I think that's phenomenal. Some of the tweaks and hacks of what, you know, the regular grind really are leaps and bounds ahead of some of the usual, you know, first-person shooter crap.
Yeah, and hopefully, I know that Quake 3 is probably the most heavily, like, has the most mods of any game that I know.
Yeah.
And so, hopefully Quake 4 will be the same way in a few years.
I think it will.
Yeah. So hopefully the community can turn it around.
I think they will. You know, it's just a matter of time. It seems as soon as the engine becomes no longer profitable to sell, they turn around and quickly open source it. So, yeah. I'm sure once Doom 3 engine basically goes out of style, it'll get open sourced.
I think it's awesome what IDE's doing. They're really helping Linux gaming a lot. That's something that not many companies have been doing. And well, I think a lot of indie developers are starting to move to supporting Linux.
Yeah. Well, generally speaking, just out of honor, I think it breaks down to, people will tend to buy, if it's a decent game, a indie game that's priced fairly, you know, just to help them out and show, yeah, there's support there. And whereas on Windows, you got a lot of options, yeah, and you can really get lost in the shuffle quite easily. Whereas in Linux, you'll stand out pretty well.
Yeah. So, great thing that we can support both indie developers and they can support us. And hopefully after a while, a lot of the big commercial vendors will start to move over.
Well, you can start seeing it already. You know, a synergy is starting to form.
Yeah.
Where the developers are starting to get a little bit more comfortable starting out developing cross-platform and doing it right from the beginning. Yeah. And I think that'll start translating into better things down the road, because as we were mentioning, the issues with Neverwinter Nights, some of it was brought upon themselves, some of it was not. Some of the Linux community was not very friendly, but, you know, they didn't think ahead far enough when trying to create Windows, Linux, and Mac ports of the same game, but having to redo it from scratch almost each time. That's something that a lot of the indie developers are seeing right away and moving past, and I think will help get back to the old school stuff that I remember growing up through. You know, back in a Commodore 64, most games were out on every platform. You know, you get it on your Apple, your Atari, Commodore, you know, everything. You know, your IBM, yeah, Texas Instruments, you know, anything pretty much had most of the games out there. Right now, that's not the case. I think some of the programmers have lost sight of how to do cross-platform development. I think that's starting to resurface again.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, it's also, game development has become a lot more complex, and now we're doing C++, Java, whatever higher languages we are, and they use the languages like DirectX and OpenGL, and of course, Microsoft has kept DirectX from us, so a lot of them are
true,
dependent on it, and it's a hard road to switch to a totally different thing.
I would agree with that. But, you know, when you got things like WX widgets, which allows you to, with very minor tweaks, you know, just, you know, really low-level stuff such as, you know, like, you know, certain memory allocation and network stack manipulation, real low-level stuff like that, everything else is just a rebuild, literally. It can reduce a lot of work. And if you're new, okay, you got to learn DirectX, you got to learn OpenGL, or you got to learn, you know, whatever, like WX widgets.
Or SGL.
Your entrance fee is still pretty, yeah, or SGL, too. You know, the entrance still requires a little bit of, you know, learning and dedication.
Yeah.
And I've seen that a lot of the newer developers are starting to pick, you know, things like WX widgets and SGL, or even Python. I'm starting to see that becoming a lot more common for some of the simpler applications.
Yeah.
Hey, that's cross-platform. That's what we've wanted for years. You know, stuff that just works everywhere. You know, OS agnostic, basically.
Yep. All right. Did you want to talk about Super Mario Brothers Chronicles?
Yeah. Well, perusing Linux games, I noticed that Super Mario Chronicles is getting an update. I haven't played that in a while, so I grabbed that. Basically, it's a clone, but not clone. It's more of like a derived piece of work of Super Mario World on the Super Nintendo. If you go to the website, Secret Mario, it's but a Y, not an I, .org, you'll see that the graphics look very much identical to that of the Super Nintendo Mario World. Gameplay is about the same, you know, same concepts. You got your Yoshi-type dude. Mario looks just like the original Italian plumber. You know? The pipes work the same way. The overworld map, pretty similar. Got a level editor, which allows you to create or modify the boards. So there's a growing community there, especially since I last checked it out, of maps and so forth. It did change the object of the game a little bit to probably keep themselves off the lawyer's top 10, you know. But yeah, if you go there, you can read up on all the little nuances, but it's a little bit more of a collecting coins than just making it through the board.
I think Mario was the first game that I played when I was young, man, and so many good times.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the more well-designed games out there that earned its place in everyone's mind.
Yeah. You know,
I think everyone respects that particular game genre because of how well Mario did it. You know, Sonic, great game, but not quite Mario.
It just proves that you don't need tens of thousands of dollars in game development to make a good, fun game.
Very true, very true.
Did you want to talk about the Sudego?
Oh, yeah. May as well bring that up now. Get people thinking. For those that aren't aware, Sudego had a flurry of people crying and pissing and moaning, and I think rightfully so, about them supporting EVE Online, and then less than a week after them announcing support, it promptly breaking. Transgaming went and did was enter in an agreement to get the source code for EVE Online and added support while a new patch came out. It was forcing Windows 2000 and XP compatibility only, dropping Windows 98 and ME. Well, that caused a major problem that wasn't initially seen. Transgaming guys basically did the hard work for CCP, gave them the fix. And now, 2 weeks after the fix was handed over, the Linux users still can't play. You know, I think this goes back into the old argument of, is wine helpful to Linux gaming? Well, this takes a new twist. We fixed the problem for the Windows users, which was a Windows bug that just wasn't as prominent, that also affected, you know, the emulation in Sudego. Gave it to them, handed it to them. And we still are shafted. What's your opinions there? Well, the last I checked, they just put into the beta server the fixes that Transgaming gave CCP, the authors of EVE Online, the other day. But I still can't play.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I'm paying monthly for both of you people. One of you did your job. The other one didn't. And just for those that aren't aware, if you go over to transgaming.org and hit the forums, the top 2-3 threads in EVE Online are with respect to this. And basically, once you get launch EVE, you get to your login screen, type in your login and password, and that's where hell begins. It takes you minutes upon minutes upon minutes just to get to your character selection screen. And then once you get to that point, playability goes downhill very fast. Basically, if you're not sitting in the station, you're suicidal or just insane because the graphics issue that's there has something to do with the redrawing and refreshing. So you go from what would normally be, you know, 30, 40, 50 frames per second, smooth, no issues, to maybe a quarter frame per second, very choppy. You know, typing characters becomes an issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, and to me, it's like, you know, I've supported Transgaming for a long time and really respect what they've been able to do. You know, make it very easy for people to just go to the store, buy a game they want, and most likely be able to have some level of success getting it to work on Linux. You know, they do a phenomenal job with World of Warcraft. You know, Steam-based games, you know, a few other major ones that I don't play at all. But, you know, when things break, usually within a day, tops, things are fixed. Well, this has been stretching out for too long, and they went and did all the hard work for CCP, and still no solution. Just wanted to throw that whole dilemma out there and see what the listeners have to say with regards to that.
Yeah, so send in your emails to logger@thelinuxlink.net. Now, isn't EVE Online, is that a MMORPG, or is it?
Yes, it is. It's one of the few MMOs that are set in outer space. They give you free rein on what you want to do. The one thing that they claim to be unique on, and I think they're probably correct, is they only use one cluster of servers. So everyone's on the same world. Like in World of Warcraft, you have your different realms, or however they call it, that you can join. But it's this segmented group of people that get to play together. The other people that are on a different realm can't play against the guys on Realm A. Well, in here, it's, you know, rather routinely, you know, 20 to 25,000 people consistently all in the same universe. And that's just on at the same time. I don't know how many subscribers they've got. They haven't released that type of information. But, yeah, it's a blast. And the one thing that they're definitely unique on is when you're training skills, it's real time. So if it says it takes a day to train, even if you log out, come back a day later, the skill will finally be finished. It's not like you have to actually be in-game hacking away or whatnot. Which, for people that are strapped on time, that's great. That's one of the things that got me hooked really early, where I can, you know, hey, I'm busy for the next week solid. And I just set a nice long skill, come back, and at least there's something done with the character other than me burning, you know, $5 or whatever of my subscription, you know?
Yeah. Have you checked out X2?
I started looking at it. It reminded me a lot of EVE. But at the time, I only had a chance to try it out on my laptop, which unfortunately runs an ATI chipset, which didn't have very good GL support, and it was just puking left and right.
Yeah.
I've downloaded it on my desktop, which has a good old NVIDIA card, and I just haven't gotten a chance to play with it yet.
Yeah, I played with it a little bit. I don't know if it's a massively multiplayer online game.
No, it's not, right. But for single player play, it looked like it'd give a very similar feel.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks really cool. I played it for like half an hour, and overall it was nice, but the controls were extremely bad.
Yeah, see, I can't comment on that, because I wasn't able even to go past the initial load screen. It just pretty much bogged down and locked itself up. I'm thinking it locked itself up. 5 minutes of unresponsiveness pretty much tells me locked up or pretty damn close to it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'll get that loaded up hopefully soon. Play with that. And
yeah.
I can write up a review and compare it to EVE. So if I remember right, the full commercial version of that isn't that expensive, is it?
It says 30 euros.
So about $30.
Yeah, like 35, 40.
I had a buddy that was out in Germany and just came back, and he was pretty much backing me up on the about €1 at that point. I don't know if it's changed. Yeah, it was about that. It is a little different, but not enough to make it that noticeable. It's not like British pounds to dollar, or even Canadian dollars to American dollar.
Oh.
That it was a lot less of a difference.
But other than the controls, the game was pretty neat. But I just couldn't play for that long because of the controls. I think if I could get hold of a joystick or something that works on Linux, then I could. It'd probably be good. But unfortunately, I don't. So if anyone wants to donate one,
you'll have to see. I was looking a couple months ago when I started yet once again. Emphasis on, again, working on my PVR, running Myth TV. I was looking for some wireless controllers, and when I Googled up stuff, it looked like most of the Logitech USB stuff worked fine, including the wireless ones. So
that's good to know.
Yeah, say just check out their website, find something that fits in your price bracket, and just Google the hardware compatibility on it.
All right.
The wireless one that I was looking at, I think the only thing that didn't work at that time was the force feedback, which to me, it's like, oh, okay, big whoop.
Yeah.
You know, out of all the things that won't work, this is probably the one I care least about.
Yeah. Also, Nexu has got some updates.
Yeah. Yeah, It's like about a week or so ago they released this update. Yeah, back on September 9th, so a little over a week ago, they updated it. They're up to 2.1, and it looks like they wanted to get this out for a gaming contest that's coming up soon. And Germany, it looks like, PCMax.de, PC-Max.de, gaming contest. As far as changes, added a few features, it looks like. Looks like they fixed some team status and icon things, as well as fixed up a lot of little minor bugs. So it looks like if you're having any issues with 2.0, things acting quirky or whatnot, this looks like it cleaned up a ton of things. I'm looking at about a good 40 or so fixes or feature enhancements.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I got pretty microscopic font size on my browser window, and I just got to scroll back and forth quite a bit. So just head over to alientrap.org/nexuiz and take a look.
Yeah, that's definitely another fun game.
Oh, yeah. Right up the same alley as Sauerbraten and Cube.
Yeah. I like Sabrein a little bit better.
That's you know, cool. I do, too.
Although the, I think the graphics on Nexuiz are slightly better.
That's about the only thing I like more, is the graphics seem to have been moving along a little bit better. But as far as the core engine, I got to give the guys over at Cube and Sauerbraten a huge thumbs up. They've just been doing a phenomenal job.
There's one thing that always bothers me when I'm playing it. It's they have the cool glossy effect of the guns and everything, but the hand is glossy.
Yeah. It's what kind of glove is that?
I know.
Must be some, like, Matrix latex leather glove or, you know.
They went a little over the top with the glaze effect.
Yeah. I think between that and some of the other games that are out there, I think some of the commercial ones are the worst in that area is the lens flaring.
Oh, yeah, the lens
flare. Just going way over the board. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
You're indoors. How the hell are you getting a lens flare?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, but what can you say?
Let's see. iTunes 7 came out.
You know, even though I'm speaking to all you folks on my MacBook right now, I have yet to really use iTunes other for just downloading podcasts, and I haven't gotten burned at all with some of the issues people have had. Have you run into any issues?
I haven't run it since 3 years ago.
I guess that'd be a negative. Yeah, I got buddies at work that ran into issues with it, and it's like, well, wow, you know. Wow, that's all I gotta say. I think the really says a lot when you got someone like Will Wheaton, you know, Wesley Crusher from Star Trek, updating, losing his entire library, and really before Apple really got on the ball and fixed that up, it took him bitching up a storm before they actually corrected his case and started going and starting correcting other people's issues. 7.0 wasn't quite as smooth as I think they had hoped.
Yeah. The thought of every movie coming out for iTunes and, like, say they dropped the DVD format, that would...
Well, the thing is, though, is I think there's enough people out there that could give two shits about what an iPod is and what it can do. They want to watch their movies on TV, they want to listen to their music off a CD or a radio, and until us young folks take over the world, the older crowd pretty much holds those philosophies, and it's not going to change. But I think the industry doesn't want it that way either. I think they like it the way the CD, DVD way has been for all of this time. If you looked at how they treated the new iTunes movie store, none of the top-notch films are there yet. They're all over at that Amazon, which is a total blunder, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I mean, the Amazon one, they did one thing right. The way they do it, it's all in Windows Media format, and you get a special one for your computer and another file for putting on portable devices. I think that one point right there works good. If you're going to restrict people from not being able to rip DVDs, then you have to give us an option to be able to put that content on our mobile devices. They did that, but this whole Windows media only bullshit just gotta go. Yeah. You know?
Get some Theora.
Hey, I'm not gonna complain if they do that. Go with Og and Theora for everything.
Yeah. I doubt they
do. Oh, even Xvid. Even Xvid I'd be happy with.
I doubt they do Theora, but Xvid is, it could definitely be a possibility. Anything else you want to talk about?
I just got two other things on my notes here. We did get a plain old vanilla wine update for those of you that require that. I go to winehq.com for the latest one of those. And then I know it's a bit older, but I don't recall being brought up on this podcast yet or not, but Project Offset.
I haven't even heard of that.
Ooh. Put it this way. If you thought that like Nexuiz and Sauerbraten had nice graphics, when they release this, which is going to be free, GPL it looks like, all nine yards, this is going to blow away that of the top-notch commercial software like Half-Life 2, Prey. You go and Google the video. Let me see. It's just projectoffset.org. Oh, it's a .com. It's .com. They've got some downloads that you can grab. The sneak peek 2. I've shown some people at work this just to kind of drum up support on the fact that, yes, open source kicks more ass than you've ever done in your life. Check it out. Check out what we're able to do. And, yeah, that's the type of model that they're looking at. Yeah, if you, those of you listening to it, quick pull up the website just so you can follow with us. The models look gorgeous. I mean, I don't know if it's just the fact that we're finally getting to that point, but I mean, this isn't that far back from what, you know, some movies were putting out as their top quality special effects.
Yeah.
You know, when you watch the video, you'll see some actual footage of what the engine is capable of real time. And your mind is just going to turn to jello, your jaw is going to drop, and you're going to go, I want this. Trust me. Once the download finishes, you're going to want this. And this game just looks phenomenal. And if they're able to get away with what they're trying to pull off, it's going to be just fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is this an RPG?
It's a first-person RPG. Basically, I don't know if any of you guys out there in the audience recall, like, Heretic or Hexen, as far as, like, your mythological type first shooter. Now add in, like, role-playing elements, you know, talking to people. There's an old one, I'm trying to remember what the hell it's called, Strife. Oldie but goodie. If you can get your hands on it, it's a little bit older game, I think it's from 95, 96, but that's like an old version of this, where you had your first-person view, you had your weapons, you know, your swords, crossbows, chains, whips, potions, oil flasks you can whip. You had to talk to people to get information, get access. You know, if you didn't talk to so-and-so, this person wouldn't let you in to finish off your quest. But all combat was done in first-person mode. This is how this is going to be. Possibly a third-person view as well. They really haven't specified anything with the third-person view, but if you watch the video, you'll see what I mean there.
Definitely something to check out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I pretty much blew my load for like an hour straight while watching this over and over again. It was just like, wow.
Do they have a ETA for this?
I think they're pulling an id Software on this. It'll be done when it's done. But at this point, I would like to have it sooner, but I'll wait if need be, because this looks like it's going to be definitely graphically there, engine-wise, definitely there. I would like them to clean up the storyline that make it, you know, top-notch. I'd like to see something that was like Neverwinter Nights quality, or some of your, you know, classic Dungeons & Dragons and Shadowrun-type module done. So I can definitely see this being one of those games that people call into work, call up using vacation, skip school, get thrown out of college for. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely has potential.
Yeah, yeah. They're getting good press from what it looks like. I'm not seeing too much as far as a ETA, though.
But this is under the GPL, right?
What I'm gathering it is, yes. from what I'm gathering, yes, it's all open source. I don't know if it's necessarily GPL, but some compatible license to open source zealots. Yeah, hopefully I'm not wrong on that one.
Yeah, hopefully I can find the Subversion repository and compile it tonight.
Good luck. Yeah, I'm just quickly perusing a site to see if there's anything that may have changed. Yeah, they're just pretty much depicting what the game is going to be as far as gameplay-wise, but not much about pricing or whatnot, if it's going to be still free or what. Well, either way, I wouldn't mind dropping $50 for this. If it ends up being free, I'm definitely donating to this project.
Yeah, definitely. I guess that wraps up another episode of Logger. Thanks for listening. The closing music will be music by my friend Josh and also my friend Soren. And they're in a band called Sick. You can find more of their music at www.myspace.com/md sick. Thank you for listening.